The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Scottie Pippen has had some things to say lately. Last week, calling out KD and Doc Rivers and even First Take. Then earlier this week on the Dan Patrick Show, Pippen discussed the 94 play in which Phil Jackson drew up a game-winning play for teammate Tony Kukoc instead of himself, which caused Pippen to refuse to enter the game. Pippen with some harsh words to Patrick. Take a listen.
Have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah.
Stephen A., what's your reaction to Pippen's comments?
I respect Scottie, six-time champion, all-time great player. I think this is one of the stupidest, most idiotic things he's ever said or done. You know, the way he looked in that interview, let me just say staying off the weed wouldn't be strong enough. And I'll leave it at that. If you go back, Scottie's got to recognize the fact that in this day and age, we have the tapes. We have the information. The game after that whole incident took place where Scottie Pippen refused to enter the game, because Phil Jackson had drawn up a play for Tony Kukoc instead of Scottie Pippen back in the 90s, 1994, whenever it was. The day after, the next game rather, I believe the Chicago Bulls had won the game. When that transpired, Ahmad Rashad was interviewing Scottie Pippen on the court. Scottie Pippen said, "I've apologized to the team. I've apologized to Phil Jackson. It was stupidity on my part." This video that you can find today, because I saw it, I have it. This video where he's literally seen on video saying that to Ahmad Rashad. So now, all of these years later, 27 years later, Phil Jackson's a racist. The same Phil Jackson that coached you, that coached MJ, that coached guys like Bill Cartwright and BJ Armstrong, and others, and Stacey King and all these guys. Same Phil Jackson that coached Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. Each and every single player at some point in time or another had issues with Phil Jackson. Kobe Bryant was on the record saying, "Yo, man, he likes to coach through the media sometimes." It annoyed the hell out of Kobe. I always felt he betrayed Kobe when Phil Jackson came out with his book talking about how difficult it was to coach Kobe Bryant. But I would never, ever think to call Phil Jackson a racist. And I don't know any player, I repeat, any player who happens to be black that played for Phil Jackson that would call him a racist. And for Scottie Pippen to do something like that is just inexcusable. It really, really is. It's low. It's really, really low. 27 years later, if the man was a racist, why are we just hearing this from you after all these years? Why now?
I have a theory on that, Stephen A.
Okay.
You know,
give me this theory.
This business that we're in, people can say part of that is selling hot takes. What's a hot take? A hot take is you thought about something, you come to a counterintuitive conclusion, you're like, I don't care if everyone else doesn't agree, I'm going to say it, right? That's a hot take. But you
does
really
it involve
believe
you believing it, Max? Does
yeah,
it involve
no, you
do you believe it?
You believe it. You believe
okay.
it. But,
okay.
you know, it's hot
okay.
because people, okay. people, if you had to think about it for a while to say, actually, I think this is not what everyone thinks. That's different than a shock jock. Remember back in the day, growing up in New York, you had shock jocks on the radio. You knew they were intentionally saying stuff to shock people because that's how they sold advertising, right? You ask, why is Scottie Pippen saying this now? Stephen A., the only thing I can say, and I'm not saying, I don't know what Scottie Pippen really believes, but he's got a book coming out and he's got a bourbon out right now. Now he's making the rounds in media saying things that you would expect from a shock jock. He's saying shocking things that maybe he believes them. Maybe not, but like I'm sure he probably believes what he says, I'd like to think, but he knows it's going to get attention, and he has two things that he's selling right now, and I just talked about them, his book and his bourbon, and maybe that's why now.
You know what, Max, that makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to disagree with you about that being a possibility. You may be totally, totally right. Let me say this as a black man. When you say racist, you better know what the hell you're talking about. And you better know who the hell you're talking about. This is a very dangerous time that we're living in. And it's more divisive than it's ever been as far as I'm concerned. Max, I can sit up there and talk about, okay, this is a racist act. Or this resembles racist behavior. Notice how there's a dichotomy that exists. There's a line that's drawn in the sand before I character assassinate a person by calling them racist. Just because you white and you happen to disagree with me or make me unhappy or we don't vibe in terms of our thinking does not make you a racist. And as a black man, I think it's incredibly important that I say that. I don't view everybody that's white that disagrees with me or that's hurt my feelings or that I have a problem with as racist. I don't think that, and I don't think that Scottie Pippen should be playing for a man winning six championships, never uttered a word against Phil Jackson in all of those years he played for him. And then when Phil left the game and came back and went and coached the Lakers, and Scottie Pippen was on television giving analysis, and never called them that. But 27 years later, again, when you may be trying to sell a book, and a bourbon line or whatever it is, all of a sudden the man is racist. Now, Max, you know me, bro. I don't like Phil Jackson too much because of what he did to my Knicks. I still haven't forgiven that man for stealing money from the Knicks the way that he did, for sleeping on the damn job with his bad hips and everything else in between.
Now,
Phil Jackson, the coach, I love. Phil Jackson, the coach I love. Phil Jackson, the coach that was interviewed, that's the 11-time champion, I love. My problem is that they weren't with the Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan. So to watch the job this man did with the Knicks is unconscionable, okay? And I have to sit up here and get away from my vitriol towards this man because of the job that he did for the Knicks to come front and center and remember that I am a black man and a human being, and I'm looking at a white individual in Phil Jackson who has a history with the Knicks and had a lot of friends there, black and white, has friends throughout the league, black and white, and a lot of people think he's an a-hole. This is what they say about him, too. You have friends and you have enemies. No one has called him a racist.
You know what else?
But Scottie Pippen just did.
You
after 27 years. That's unconscionable. It really is.
What was such a bad look for Pippen was that Kukoc hit the shot. Like, coach draws up a play, the dude hits the shot and wins the game, and you're complaining that it seems selfish at the time. And in retrospect, when he's talking about it still and blame it, it's like Stephen A. back in the day when the Celtics would be accused of the same thing because Bird and McHale were the two of the five best players. Bird was the best player in basketball. McHale was a top five, six player. That has nothing to do with race. That has to do with the fact that they're great, great players. So Phil drawing up the play for the better shooter who then hits the shot to win, it's a bad look to criticize him for that.
What you got to remember, he sat down before the play was executed. So he didn't know. He probably regretted as soon as Kukoc hit the shot because he knew he had no leg to stand on. But he sat down before. But you saw the person in his ear while he was sitting there talking to him. That was Bill Cartwright, former Knick, former Chicago Bull, champion, former head coach, and whatever. And he's always had a voice issue. You know that, Max. His voice was really compromised, stuff like that. Bill Cartwright walked into that locker room after Scottie Pippen refused to enter that game and just jumped all over him with tears. He was very emotional, calling Scottie Pippen to the carpet. You let us down. He didn't use the word betrayal to my memory, but he basically highlighted you let us down. Mm-hmm. You weren't there for us. You sold us out. You gave up on the team, which had a lot to do with why Scottie Pippen ended up apologizing. And this is what I know. This is what I know about the Armstrongs, the Bill Cartwrights of the world, the Stacey Kings of the world, the Michael Jordans of the world, and others. I do know this. If Phil Jackson was a racist, we would have heard about that a hell of a lot sooner than 27 years later after that play for Tony Kukoc. Scottie Pippen doing what he just did, and I respect the hell out of Scottie Pippen. It hurts me to say that. But that is just, that is one of the most ridiculous and incredibly unfair allegations to throw at a former coach. To do that to any human being based off of something from 27 years earlier like that is just low.
Especially when it's to protect your own ego. When it seems like it's to
protect your own ego. We do have a hard out, and obviously Scotty's a friend of the show. He's always invited if he wants to come on and explain himself more.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Devontae Adams waits to see what his quarterback decides to do this season. He has some interesting comments about the possibility of reuniting with his college quarterback, Derek Carr, on the Raiders one day. Listen up, y'all.
Obviously, I love Derek to death. We got a great friendship, and we still communicate really, really consistently. He's one of my best friends. So obviously, it'd be a dream to be able to play with him. But I'm a Packer now. So until that point where we make that decision, I guess we'll see what happens.
It's time for Quick Take. Stephen A., are the Packers crumbling before our eyes?
Hell yeah, they are, and deservedly so. You know, that sounds like a man right there that doesn't anticipate he'll be having the ball thrown to him from Aaron Rodgers. So why not bring up one of your boys that you got a lot of love for, who, by the way, can play? Derek Carr is no scrub. That's what that's about. I mean, why else would you mention Derek Carr as a quarterback when you got Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to you?
Facts. Who's the Carson Wentz specialist on this show, Stephen A.? Oh, I think it's Max Kellerman. Carson Wentz told Valley News Live in North Dakota that he has a new passion for the game now that he's a Colt. Max?
Yeah.
Is Wentz going to have his best year ever?
Hell no. And it's not just because he was a mess at the end of last season, or even two seasons ago. Apparently not enough people noticed that. But it's because he set a very high standard when he was the leading MVP candidate. What was it, 14, 15 weeks into the season? He was the best player in football. He ain't going to be the best player in football this year.
Stephen A., Lane Johnson said last year's 4-11-1 record was unacceptable. Will Jalen Hurts lead the Eagles to the playoffs?
No. They're not good enough. And he's not good enough yet. They'll get there, but not this season.
All right, fair enough. Dak Prescott has had a tumultuous couple years, to say the least, dealing with personal tragedy, the loss of his brother, a season-ending injury, a pandemic, very public contract negotiations, and struggles with mental health. But the Cowboys quarterback appears to be turning a corner. Cowboys fans should be feeling hopeful. Yeah, Dak telling NBC Dallas guys, take those first five games and just say we're going to be better than that as a team. We're excited that hopefully we can stay healthy, we can get good fortune on that end, then we can just put everything we've worked hard for together on all stages and all phases of the game. We're excited for this year. It's going to be very, very special for us and for our fans. Stephen A.
Fire it up, baby.
Put it on a T, Molly.
Stephen A. Stephen A. I can't wait for football season. We can travel again. We might be going out to Dallas. Southern Steve, what's your reaction to Dak's optimism?
I think it's hilarious. I think it's like, let me ask you this. See, this is the part of stuff. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys are the gift that just keeps on giving. They really are. I mean, they're always making headlines or something, bringing attention to themselves, only to flop, to fall on their face. Let me ask you a question. Now, Dak Prescott has been in the league, Max, how many years? 4 years or whatever? I mean, in 2017, when they went 9-7, did he say they were going to stink? I mean, they went 10-6 the year after that. When they went 8-8 in 2019, did he say they were going to be average? Is that what he said? Did he say that Ezekiel Elliott was going to fall off a little bit? Did he say that the defense was going to stink? Did he say that Mike McCarthy was an archaic coach that didn't need to be there? No, he's always going to say something positive. That's who Dak Prescott is. Damn it, he didn't even make any noise during the whole Colin Kaepernick situation when people were kneeling for the national anthem and they were talking about COVID. A matter of fact, the only negative headline that's been associated with Dak Prescott, other than losing games to qualified teams, by the way, other than that, the only time he's made noise was when he tried to have a little party during COVID. You understand what I'm saying? He was out there spreading the Rona. I mean, that's when he made headlines. So here's my whole point. I'm supposed to sit here and take it seriously that Dak Prescott said, this is going to be a very, very special year. I'm glad he said very, very. I mean, I was waiting for him to sound like Sammy Sosa, acting like he couldn't speak English in front of Congress, for crying out loud. I need an interpreter or something. I mean, he very, very special. Really? Who cares? In the end, here's the deal. The Dallas Cowboys, talent-wise, on paper, look like they can win the NFC East. I'm going to pick them to win the NFC East, but do I expect anything of championship-caliber play to come associated with the Dallas Cowboys? Hell no. A matter of fact, I am rooting for them to be relevant for this reason. I'm told that my brother, Michael Irvin, might have a little spot over there near the stadium, some restaurant or something. I want to go there, either there or to the place where we've done First Take in the past, because I love it there, right by AT&T Stadium. I mean, I want to go there and watch a game with Cowboy fans. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put on my Cowboy hat, Max. I'm going to have my cigar. Hell, I might even buy some Cowboy boots and mosey on down there, you understand, and watch the game with all those Cowboy fans, you understand, and watch them lose right in front of my face. That's what I'm going to do. Outside of that, who gives a damn what Dak Prescott said? I'm happy you're healthy, and I'm glad you got your money because you deserve it. But winning football games, particularly when they really count, oh, please. Let's move on.
How do you describe Cowboys fans, Stephen A.? You use some adjectives.
They're pathetic, delusional, nauseating, make you want to vomit. They make me sick. And I also describe them like cockroaches. If a nuclear bomb, cockroaches would come out of Dallas Cowboy fans.
Right,
they're everywhere.
That's a little aggressive.
Okay?
Well,
that's what they are.
I just wanted to know. It's up to him what he says.
I mean, he lives in New York, so he's familiar with cockroaches.
I'll say this.
Yes, I am, Mally. That's true.
You know, Reggie Jackson on the Clippers, Stephen A., has been called Mr. June because he really stepped up his play in June in the playoffs. The way Reggie Jackson, the original Reggie Jackson, the baseball Hall of Famer, was Mr. October. The Reggie Jackson who plays on the Clippers was called Mr. June because here it is. And what I hear from Dak Prescott now is he's just like what you would describe a nauseating Cowboys fan. Because every Cowboys fan is what? Mr. June. Every Cowboys fan is Mr. June. Every June like clockwork. You can set your watch to it. A Cowboys fan's going to talk about what they're going to do this year.
Yo, Max.
I expect it from them. Dak Prescott's a Mr. June, too?
Hey, Max, guess what? Let's do some news here. Let's do some news here. I got a new nickname for the Cowboys.
Okay.
It's a new nickname. Are you ready?
Yes, I want to hear the reveal.
You ready, Molly?
Yes.
You ready, Max? You know what my new nickname for the Cowboys is?
What?
Christmas. They keep giving. The gift that keeps on giving. They are Christmas. That's
who
they
are. Around Christmas is usually
that's who they are.
Stephen A., to torture the metaphor, you know what you are? You're the Grinch. And that's the truth.
Never that.
Right.
I love Christmas. That's not for the Cowboy fans out there. That's not for the Cowboys. I don't even hate the Cowboys. It's their fans that I can't stand. You know, I can't stand them. But
we're
clear Christmas,
on what you like and don't like.
That keeps on giving. Watch. Just wait. It's
check
all coming,
out.
All because of this talking. Watch what happened around
NFC
the holiday.
Duke is
Christmas.
I mean, honestly, guys, though, even though, Max, we're Giants fans, Dak really is a good guy. It's hard not to
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a good guy, and a good person, too. But he's contaminated by that damn uniform that he wears and that franchise he represents.
Right.
He's contaminated.
I can see you in a Jerry's party bus
out
now.
There
we'll leave
the
it there, guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, y'all, here's a look at the notable players selected to the U.S. men's basketball team for the Olympic Games at Tokyo. The team is seeking a fourth consecutive gold medal and will be led by Spurs head coach Greg Popovich. One player absent from this list, that'd be the king. Here's Jerry Colangelo on potentially not seeing LeBron in the Olympics ever again.
You know, Father Time takes its toll. And you guys know that because if you're a human being, your body is built to go so long, depending on what your sport is. And then it's a downhill situation. And LeBron made choices these last couple of Olympics not to participate because he's got a lot of things going on in his life. And so he put in his time. He made a contribution that is appreciated. But I think his time is over.
You know, Stephen A., I feel like this is a really timely question because we have 10 All-Stars dealing with injury with the postseason. Obviously, we had the bubble, a shortened offseason. Do you think the best players need to be playing in Olympic basketball?
I do not. I'm not of that mindset. Now, obviously, with LeBron not playing, there's still Kevin Durant, there's still Damian Lillard and others. So we still have some of the best players in the world. But I think that when you're the National Basketball Association, and I know Max is going to disagree with me here, and I'll just let him make his point. But my point is that there's 450-plus players in the National Basketball Association. And, yes, you do have a lot of European players, and I get that. 70% plus of the league is black. And when you look at a lot of the stars in the NBA, they happen to be black as well. I don't believe that they need to be superstars, the absolute creme de la creme, in order to win and capture a gold medal. I think that when you look at second tier stars, the likes of Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, who will also be on this team, I think you can win the title with guys like that. I'm talking about a complete team with those level of guys. I don't think there needs to be a superstar. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think that we should be jeopardizing having our superstars play in Olympic competition. I'm talking about the creme de la creme, the guys that are box office, that people walk through the turnstiles to see, especially with so many people complaining about needing rest and putting wear and tear on their bodies. Back in the day, we needed to do that because we were losing and we weren't sending our best. And as a result, we suffered because of it. But from 1992 on, and we've displayed our dominance. It was a little hiccup when Larry Brown was coaching the team, but then Krzyzewski took over from 2008. LeBron won gold medals in 2008 and 2012. In 2016, we had a crew as well. We've reestablished our dominance. Everyone knows that basketball in the United States of America, as it pertains to the National Basketball Association, is the best basketball on the planet. So with that being said, I don't think that it should require the very top tier A talent to represent us. We're good enough where our B-level dudes should be able to bring home a gold medal.
But when we start thinking like that, we start losing, coming in, you know, we get a silver or a bronze and not the gold that the United States, if we send our best, obviously deserves because we have the best basketball players by far in the world. Look, the fact of the matter is, Stephen A., that the Olympic rules, like, you know, the international rules versus our national, which become one of our national pastimes, the NBA, are different. And international rules FIBA favors the less talented team. 10-minute quarters instead of 12, right? 40 minutes instead of 48. So the cream rises to the top, or better yet, class tells over time. The longer the game goes on, the more you have the result of the better team winning. The shorter the game, the better the chance for the underdog. The three-point line is more distant in the NBA, thereby requiring more skill to hit it. So lesser-skilled players can be more effective shooters in the international game. It just creates a situation where the less talented team has better chances, because you're right, when you look at the names, Bam Adebayo and Jeremy Grant and these guys and Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, there's no team internationally, a non-American team, that should be able to beat the guys you can throw together with the B or the C list names. But Stephen A., just consider this for a second. Here's our A team, okay? Steph, Harden, Kawhi, LeBron, KD, with Kyrie, Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, AD off the bench. That team would never lose in a billion universes. You could simulate it a trillion times. Never going to lose. But when you start sending Kevin Love at this set stage of his career, Jeremy Grant's a good player. I mentioned Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton. They're good players, but they're not great players. That's when you open yourself up to losing.
Now, see, that's where you come across so disingenuous. I recall being on the air just the other day and saying, what is Kevin Love doing on this team? He had no business on the team. Of course, I'm not talking about a Kevin Love. But what I'm trying to say to you, Max, is like, say, for example, you don't have a Kevin Durant and you don't have a Damian Lillard, okay? But you know what? You're going to send, and I don't want to say young guys, but you're going to send a Middleton. You're going to send a Drew Holiday, okay? You're going to send some of these guys on that second-tier level consistently across the board. Now, guess what, Max? How about the coaches actually coaching? How about adapting the FIBA style of play, the 10-minute quarters instead of 12-minute quarters, the 40 minutes instead of 48 minutes, understanding how the game is played in Europe, what the Olympic rules are, and it caters towards shooting, and then putting a few more shooters on your squad as well. You can make the adjustments. Pick your poison. The NBA has it. There's no rule that they can come up with in Olympic play that would cater to European teams at the detriment of NBA teams. You can find whatever they put out there, you can find in the NBA. All you got to do is know the rules and understand how you build a roster and you put them together and you go with it. We have the talent in this country. But here's the big thing, Max. I don't want to see superstars sitting during the regular season in the NBA. Because
no,
you're practicing
that.
And working on your body.
I
and
agree
doing
with
all
that.
Nah, I want us to be the priority.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, that's
and if
fair.
You are a star that you sell out arenas, I want you playing as many regular season and postseason games as possible right here in the States.
No.
Because we don't really give a damn about the Olympics anyway, if we're going to be real honest about it. We just care whether or not they come home with the gold. We
right.
ain't watching every
that's
game.
We care about the Olympics.
Stephen A., if we don't win, we're going to be bothered. Let's
right.
not
that's
pretend.
That's Molly. That's
they,
exactly
they got,
it.
With the USA
that's exactly
still has
it.
To win. We still
that's
got
right.
pride.
We don't care about the Olympics as long as we're winning.
For our country. Exactly. But Stephen A. is
we'll
not with load management.
We'll care if we lose, but we expect to win. All I'm saying is we ain't watching every game of Olympic play. We might have to watch a few minutes. Come on, y'all. Stop it.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The Hawks played game four without their star Trae Young, but still managed to tie the series up at 2 apiece. Young is currently a game time decision. That is for tonight. The Bucks also suffered a major blow with the injury to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who will miss game five due to a hyperextended knee. This will be just his second missed game in a postseason career. And history says the winner of game five will go on to win the series, as teams to take a 3-2 series lead go on to win the best of seven series 83.9% of the time. So Max Kellerman, that tells me big implications tonight, sir. Tell me this, who wins game five?
The Atlanta Hawks. Don't tell me that they're playing in Milwaukee. I don't, like, it comes down to, again, Giannis is not playing game five. Trae Young and Clint Capella might play game five. So if one team has its team on the floor and the other team is missing its best player, give me the team that's not missing its best player. This ain't complicated. If Trae Young plays and Giannis doesn't play, I just saw Giannis play and Trae not play and the Hawks still won. No, if Trae plays and Giannis doesn't, Stephen A., Hawks are going to win on the road or not.
Max, you might be right, but I'm going with the Bucks tonight. I think they're on their home turf back in Milwaukee. I think Middleton and Jrue Holiday and the rest of the crew rise to the occasion, and I think they survive. And they beat the Atlanta Hawks tonight, and then the Atlanta Hawks will come. I think that as a result of that, Milwaukee will refrain from playing Giannis in game six as well. And as a result, Atlanta goes back to the ATL, wins game six, and then there's a game seven back in Milwaukee. And we'll make that decision then when it happens. I just think that this is a home court advantage for the rest of this series right now, at least over the next two games. I think both teams will protect their home court, because sometimes you play down to the moment. I've seen the Atlanta Hawks do that. Sometimes you play up to the moment. I've seen the Milwaukee Bucks do that. And I think tonight is one of those nights where Middleton will go off. He'll explode. He'll get significant help from Jrue Holiday. He'll answer the call. And I think defensively, they will step their game up overall, collectively. And as a result, they'll probably win probably by about 7 or 8 points and go back to
Atlanta. Hope you're right. Love to see you.
Guys, we got like 60 seconds, but I want to ask you this, Stephen A. Will the winner of the East beat the West? And the Suns, obviously, who are waiting.
I haven't made that decision yet. I'm inclined to have the Phoenix Suns as the favorites right now, unless Giannis is healthy. If Giannis is healthy, Milwaukee would be my favorite.
Max, where are you on this?
If the Suns are healthy, they're going to beat the Hawks or the Bucks, even if the Hawks and the Bucks are at full strength. Everyone at full strength, Suns are going to win the championship.
Mm. Just like you predicted it. This is your time to gloat, Max. Tell everybody.
Well, if you need to hear the Max Kellerman show, what was it, November 20th or 16th episode? You go to the podcast, go to around 8:12, I believe it is. Not that I'm
basically, when the trade happened, he said he thought the Suns might win the championship.
Yeah, it's possible. Okay.
So I just wanted to make sure to give him his flowers.
Now I picked several teams ahead of them, but I said I wasn't sure, and sure enough, there were injuries.
So basically, Stephen A., per usual, he gave himself a lot of options, so he would be right.
Did you anyone else say the Suns were a top five team in the West?
No, you know Max.
When you're legit,
you're the greatest.
You don't need flowers.
Thank you.
You really don't.
All right.
Sometimes if
thanks for hanging with us. This was fun. First Take in the afternoon. Goodbye, everybody. Have a fabulous evening. Enjoy the game.